I'll tell you what, we turn our attention to racing. We enjoy the sport. We love the sport. We're not as passionately involved as we are for the winter month sport that we immerse ourselves in. And we've lost one of the great voices to that sport over the last 12 to 24 months. But we are forever thankful that we can turn on Channel 7 and we can hear and see the great Bruce McAvaney talk about racing up in Randwick for the Everest and at Caulfield for the Caulfield Cup. And it's a great pleasure he joins us on the program. Bruce, good morning.
Good to talk to you, Gary, and you too, Tim. And Gary, can I start? I haven't spoken to you since, but I think we're all still thinking about the D's, and I was thrilled for all their supporters, and in particular you. So what a finish, eh?
Thanks, Bruce. It really was, and you understand the situation we're in here in Melbourne. We're still in lockdown, so we haven't got to really celebrate with our former mates and teammates and all those sorts of things, and yeah. I guess we'll go and relive it all again, but it was an extraordinary experience, and grand finals outside of Melbourne can work, can't they?
They can, and I'm convinced now that we should have a rotation system. I mean, I think we're all thinking about that. I was in Brisbane for the first one, and that was good, and this looked great. I know the MCC and the MCG have got such a tight deal with the AFL, and we understand that, but I would have thought that a moment has arrived where we can rethink things a little, and maybe, every 5 years, have it in another place. I just know if South Australia knew that they were having the grand final in 2027, the build-up would be enormous. So it'd be, it'd be the biggest thing happening in our state in that year. So I hope it happens. Not sure it will, but I hope it does.
Good morning to you, Macca. What did you think of Christian Petrarca's performance in the grand final?
Tim, it was astonishing. He played such a brilliant final series. And that battle with Bontempelli, all the way through that grand final, halfway through the third quarter, Bontempelli had his nose in front. But, Tim, I haven't seen anything quite like it. I've seen Dusty, and obviously we've all seen Dusty in all his glory, Gary Ablett Sr. There have been other phenomenal finals players over the years, but I don't think we've ever seen anything as outstanding. The next 3 or 4 years are going to be fascinating to see where he's going to finally sit. But at the moment, I think it's, Ablett's 9 goals, and there's been one or two other performances, but I would have thought this was as good as I've ever seen.
It was an extraordinary game, wasn't it? Like, I had to go back. We talked about this post the grand final, but I actually had to go back on the Sunday and watch it again because I couldn't quite believe how quickly that game spun and turned around again in that third quarter.
Look, Tim, if people will look at the results and Gary in 50 years' time, if I hadn't seen the game, I think, oh, gee, that was a one-sided match. It was anything but. I mean, up until three-quarter time was one of the... It's probably as good a grand final as I've ever seen. And then the last quarter was a celebration. What struck me, all year I was thinking, we don't have a great team. We have some good teams. And, it was mainly the Bulldogs in Melbourne all year. And what I loved about Melbourne, they kept winning the big games all year. But I now feel like this is a great team. Now, let's see what happens in the next 5 years. They've played the best football I've seen, certainly since Geelong in that 2007-11. That's all due respect to Hawthorne and Richmond and all the success they've had since then. We haven't seen a more exciting team than Geelong were at their absolute prime, and maybe they're even a cut above them. So it was breathtaking. And like you say, it's a hard grand final to get your head around because of the 74-point margin, and the fact that it was such a contest.
It was an extraordinary game. It was the first one that you haven't called in a long time. Did you miss it?
I did, Tim. Yeah, I really did. I missed the football all year when I was watching. I didn't miss it during the week like I thought I might, but I certainly missed the grand final. Oh, boy. I was climbing up the wall, but I was enjoying it. About halfway through the third quarter, I nearly rang Lewis Martin and said, "Hey, Louis,
patch me in."
But BC and JB were going so well, I reckon I would have had trouble getting rid of those two.
Hey, it is great to hear your thoughts. From my point of view, it's especially great. I mean, that's high praise indeed for some individuals and the team, but it is great to hear your thoughts on the footy, and we're going to hear your thoughts on racing. And Tim and I, we love it. We like racing. We love it at this time of the year. We don't follow it throughout the year like obviously you do and others. Can you explain to our audience the impact that the Everest has had? And we understand that for Peter Volandi's driven introduction of a new event to try and take some of the gloss away, or not gloss, but try and to shine the light on New South Wales racing. And he's done a marvellous job. How big is the race?
Well, it's probably Sydney. Well, it's Sydney's biggest race, Gary, and that says a lot. I mean, they've had the Golden Slipper and the Doncaster, and they've been the two biggest races, and the Queen Elizabeth has sort of grown as well. But look, just in a nutshell, I think Sydney looked at the fact that in October there's no football, and this is when it's the racing season for months. Autumn racing's just as strong, but we don't have the same attention because the footy's just started. So yeah. New South Wales thought, hang on a sec, our spring finishes at the beginning of October with the Epsom Handicap. How can we extend it? What can we do? Now, we can't create another Melbourne Cup or Caulfield Cup or Cox Plate. Where do we go outside the square? So he introduced this race called the Everest, but where he made it so different was the slot holders, the fact that 12 people paid $1.8 million for a three-year deal, $600,000 a year. They could then select these horses. He put out $10 million in the first year with a promise to keep growing it. It's up to $15 million. So he created a buzz. He's then, off the Everest, introduced races like the Golden Eagle worth $7.5 million for four-year-olds. Good idea. Four-year-olds didn't have their own race. Other races have spawned. So he's taken the narrative away just from the Melbourne Cup and the Caulfield Cup and the Cox Plate. And by having the slot holders and all the toing and froing, it becomes a narrative that goes on for about 6 months. It is a stroke of genius. So, look, it has grown to the point where it probably does slightly shade the Caulfield Cup tomorrow, certainly if you're living in Sydney. Not for a purist like myself. I mean, I look at them probably equally tomorrow, but it's been remarkable. So it's extended Sydney deep into October. It's changed a lot of other things in the industry, and it's certainly ruffled up Melbourne's feathers. But I think they've responded really well, Melbourne. And we look at tomorrow, I think the two races sit side by side really well. A Caulfield Cup that's been going for over 140 years and an Everest is in its fifth year. So, yeah, that's where the origins of it all.
And the Everest being a sprinting race, a star-studded, these are like, from a track and field point of view, the big guns that come out and it's over pretty quickly, and led by Nature Strip, who's a bit of an enigma of a horse. How do you see it, and what's the track going to be like? Has it had the sort of rain that they were predicting in Sydney?
It's the big question, Gary, because it's a heavy eight at the moment. And that probably takes a couple of horses out of the race, like Wild Ruler. Trekking's going to struggle on that ground, Libertini. But it really brings to the fore Nature Strip, Eduardo, Guitra. And Classic Legends, he doesn't want it too heavy. But look, he is an enigma, Nature Strip. He's gone from much maligned to much loved, to be honest. And that's Chris Waller. He's been a genius in the way that he's worked on him. He's taken him from being a one-trick pony to being more versatile. But this has been not a good race for Nature Strip. He's been beaten twice in the race. He hasn't run a place. I feel like he's going a little better this year than he was last year. I'm sure he is. But it's a powerful field. Half a dozen coming back from last year, including the winner, Classic Legend. And that's probably the biggest story of the race, guys, because the horse hasn't started for over 300 days. He went to Hong Kong. He had a lot of problems there. He came back. And Les Bridge is 83 years of age. He's sort of like our Bart of today. He's laconic. He's quick-witted. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. He's already won a Golden Slipper and a Melbourne Cup. He's the only person alive, actually, the only trainer to win a Golden Slipper, Melbourne Cup and an Everest. And he's trying to do something that no horse has ever done in the short time, is win the Everest first up. So, and Kieran McAvoy, who rides Classic Legend, has won three of the four. He's won three Melbourne Cups and three Everest. So he's not bad for the bank manager, and he's pretty good as a jockey. So I would have thought Classic Legend and Nature Strip are the two biggest stories in the race.
And we need to get to the Caulfield Cup and your thoughts on that. But Masked Crusader, who we spoke with Wayne Hawkes earlier in the week, and his ability to do Chautauqua-like things from the back of the field, maybe compromised a bit because of the track.
Slightly. He'll be okay if it's a soft seven. Heavy eight, well, he might be all right. But look, he is a phenomenal horse. And he and the Inferno are going to be charging with Classic Legend. And that's the thing, Tim and Gary. It's going to be a race where Eduardo and Nature Strip are going to be up the front with probably Home Affairs, and you're going to have a lot of the favourites at the back, and they're going to come somewhere together on the finish line. It's very Sydney. It's bold and brash and as quick as you said, Gary, and all over and done with, and $15 million up for grabs. So, and the Caulfield Cup, it's a good renewal, guys. This is a very good race.
Peter Moody's got a habit of finding a horse that just keeps on winning. How good is Incentivised and how good can it be?
It's the best question in racing and the biggest one. This horse 6 months ago was a forlorn maiden. He'd had three starts and no one would have given two bob for him. And here he is. He's won eight consecutive races by big margins in Queensland. Each was more impressive. He came down to Moody and some well-known owners chipped in and bought the horse for a lot of money after his sort of run in Queensland. He came down here. Pete's got hold of him from his very good mate who still is in the ownership, Steve Tregay. And how good is he? Well, he's won the Maccabi Diva and he's won the Turnbull. He hasn't won by margins, but he's been authoritative. He could be anything. But we're going to find out tomorrow. This is D-Day because he's got the bad draw. And we're going to he's got the top weight, but it's not a huge weight. He's well-weighted, actually. We're going to find out how good he is because this is a very strong field, in my opinion, with a lot of horses in good form. But if he does win, Peter will win a Caulfield Cup for the first time to go with all those great things he'd done with Black Caviar, Typhoon Tracy and Dissident, so, particularly Black Caviar. So it'll be a crowning moment for him.
His speech may be one for the ages too, if that was to happen, Bruce.
Well, if he really tells us what he thinks, it could be anything. Because, I mean, he carried a lot of baggage for a long time, Peter did. I mean, we all love Pete. And when I say baggage, I mean, he felt like the wrong thing had been done by him. He felt that, you know, his career had been shattered. He felt like his reputation ruined. And he worked very hard to get it back. And he went to the media and we all loved working with him. And we didn't think he'd come back to training. And then within about 12 months, anyway, said, oh, if I come back, I'll just poke around and have a few horses for the country. We knew that wasn't going to happen because that's not Pete. But Tim, there'll be a lot of emotion going through him if he does win tomorrow because he's had the roller coaster ride. But we're all just thrilled that he's back because we love having him around. He's a larger-than-life figure who's got a big, big heart, and he's a brilliant trainer.
We might need to get Shawnee on the dump button if that happens, Bruce.
Who's going to put Shawnee on the dump button? That's a problem. I have been talking to him regularly.
Yes.
And he's incentivised as a favourite tomorrow. I can tell you that Shawnee is, without doubt, the number one frustrated person in Australia right now. I hope the Premier's not listening, but Shawnee's not his biggest fan at the moment. He hasn't been able to go to the pub for ages.
Who are the other main chances in the Caulfield Cup?
Well, Ollie's got a massive... He's been... Oh God, I wouldn't want to be with Ollie at the moment. He's been starving himself for 4 days. He's grumpy anyway, Ollie. I mean, how would you like that? But he's on Delphi, a horse from Europe who's really, in four runs, has made a mark here. So that's with the Freeman. So Delphi, Nonconformist, and Duas and Young Werther, I reckon, are the five main chances. Duas is a heck of a story, guys. She ran on Wednesday. The last horse to win the Coongee and win the Caulfield Cup was in 1899, so there you go. But this is another one of Bart Cummings' grandsons. Edward Cummings. Bart's got the record. Of course he's got the record for the Caulfield Cup. He's won seven of them. So if Edward were to win with Duas, it would be real racing history. So I reckon Delphi, Nonconformist, and Jewish are the dangers to incentivise. It's going to be a great, great race.
And our great friend Andrew Bensley, who I know you'd have great respect for, says Montefilia is the forgotten horse in all of this. So at $16 with Jai McNeil on board, that's the one he likes.
And she's won three Group 1s. She's won the Metrop and all those races. And look, she's certainly in the mix. And what he says sums up the cup. It's a deep race. It's got a long, long list of chances. And she is certainly one of them, and a four-year-old mare like Duas, they can run very well in this race. So yeah, look, it's good times, guys. I mean, no international horses, and yet I don't feel the race has suffered at all.
It's going to be a great day, Bruce, and you're going to be at the forefront of it all for Channel 7 and 7 Plus, and we'll be watching. And it's a great thrill to talk to you. We miss you, and we appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Pleasure, Gary. All the best, Timmy.
Thanks, bye, boys.
The great Bruce McAvaney, and oh, the love for Bruce coming through loud and clear just to hear him talk. I tell you, that is high praise, and I'm not saying it just because it's Melbourne, although it does excite me. Christian Petrarca's performance as good as any he's seen, and the team as exciting as any football.
Yeah, and there were a lot of texts that came in around that time. What about us? What about the Tigers? What about the Hawks?
I get that. I understand all of that, and people defend their patch, but it was nice to get his thoughts on the grand final.